For 118 years, Child and Family Service has been helping to strengthen our community, offering some 50 programs statewide. Today, we introduce you to the new CEO at the helm, Karen Tan. But she's no stranger to the nonprofit, working within the in the organization for a number of years. Now she shares her vision of innovation, working within the challenges of a nonprofit.
First of all, we're creating an innovations room here at our Eva Beach office. And the reason why we're doing that is because we want our staff and leadership to be able to go into a place where they can problem solve, whether it be funding challenges or challenges working with issues in the community. We want to have that as an opportunity. The other things that, like another example would be, we're partnering with a national organization called the Alliance for Strong Families and Communities, and we're creating an opportunity for those older kupuna who have retired to come back and give back to our organization through volunteering. And that creates two really innovative ideas, which is one, connecting kupuna with children in a way that helps them both. Mostly the children, really benefit from having someone in the kupuna help them and take care of them, and really bond with them. And also, the second thing is that it helps the kupuna, because they are often can be depressed or lonely after retirement. They don't realize it's going to happen, but it does. And so we give them an opportunity to come back and really have a second career, as we call it, and give them another focus each day so they're not just sitting alone wondering what to do.
So are these members of our kupuna group that have been involved in child and family service programs before, or is this just basically tapping a resource in the community?
It's tapping a new resource. Typically, they haven't been involved with us, and maybe they've been bankers or accountants or teachers, and so it really is about giving them an opportunity to come here and learn about who we are and then give back. So we've had great opportunities for them to talk to our alternative high school youth about career opportunities, helping them to see what their options are, and any other opportunities to volunteer here at our organization.
Right, and you're all about strengthening families, so really this is kind of a mentoring program, if you will.
Yeah, it really is, and you know what we want to do is give the youth and the children hope. That's one of the focuses we're wanting to do, and in order to give them hope, they need to see that there's life outside of where they're at the moment. And so if they're one of our youth in our alternative high school that are struggling in school, and maybe they've been suspended and now they're with us, having them meet with a person who's had a wonderful career, maybe has had their own challenges, and then hear from them and learn from them, it's a great win-win for both.
Well, that's terrific, because we certainly do have a growing community of seniors. And so that's really a wealth of knowledge you can tap into.
Absolutely. And you know, what's interesting is we are, I believe we're the oldest of old here in the nation as far as our kupuna. And so we really have that resource to tap into. And with, you know, funds getting tighter and tighter for nonprofits, you want to really look at that, as I call it, human resource opportunity of these wonderful kupuna who have so much to share.
And tell us about the programs that you have that help with this problem of homelessness in our community.
Well, you know, I think homelessness is it's improving in our community. I heard recently, in fact, last week, that we've seen an 8% reduction in homelessness here in our community, which is really a good sign. Child and Family Service does not provide necessarily homeless shelters, per se, but we do work with families who are in poverty and trying to prevent homelessness. And so we work with, right now we have a program that we're piloting on Kauai and on Maui called Transition to Success, which is a model for how you work with families who are in poverty and really helping them to move out of poverty. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to do to help the community.
Over the years, I've seen and talked to a large cross-section of homeless people at the camps across Oahu. Mm. And I'm just struck by the cycle, because you've got parents and children that have been out on the streets for 7 years or more, and it was just mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there is a cycle of poverty, a cycle of homelessness. I think, you know, children learn what they're exposed to. So that's why we really like this transition to success model, because what it does is it helps us to work with the families, both the parents and the kids, to say, what are your hopes and dreams? And then we map it out for them. How do you get there? So, for example, if a youth says, I really want to be an NBA player, then we say, okay, what does it take to be an NBA player? We don't knock it down because we understand that most kids aren't going to be an NBA player. Our first response is, what does it take to get there? Well, you've got to get to school because most end up graduating from high school and go to college. But you haven't been going to school, so how do you get to school? Well, maybe, and then we break it down all the way to, maybe you need an alarm clock that works because you're not getting up and going to school. But if you want to be an NBA player, you got to get your degree. So we really work with them to break down their goals and see that everything is achievable. And so that's the model that we're working out of, and that really helps. Because when you think about poverty, you think about, you know, the families, all they can worry about is really where are they going to sleep and what are they going to eat. So to think beyond today is really difficult. So our model helps them to really begin to look at those hopes and dreams and map it out where they might not otherwise think that way.
Right, and you don't want to be known as a dream killer. I know I've done interviews with Marcus Mariota's teachers. I think one who I think had an assignment for Marcus Mariota for the class to, you know, talk about their goals, and he wanted to be, you know, a pro ball player. And she, I think, had basically said, well, you know, very few people achieve that goal. There are very few spots, but, you know, he was like, no, I really wanted to play pro ball, and he achieved it. So, I mean, what a terrific role model he is for the country, but then our kids here in Hawaii to know
Absolutely.
That they can have that kind of success.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that's what's really important, especially for kids who are in poverty, whether they're homeless or they're living in you know, like Section 8 housing or just really struggling. It's helping them to see that they can also have hopes and dreams. And one of the things that we always talk about here at Child and Family Services, hope is contagious. And so if, like, someone like Marcus has hope to do that one day, then, you know, other people kind of can get on the back of that and experience that hope too. And that's what we want to do for our community, is really grow the hope that there is a future for those, even those in poverty or living homeless.
Now, looking forward to 2018, one aspect, I think, of funding is a big problem for all nonprofits, but also accountability. And we've seen so many stories in the headlines today about an accountant or a trusted employee basically ripping off the nonprofit. We saw it with the ARC. We saw it with WainaiComp last month, and it's just disheartening. And so I guess my question to you is as an organization, what safeguards do you have to make sure that people aren't just taking advantage of your organization? And when people give, the money is going to go to where they intend for it to go and not to line someone's pocket.
Right, right. Yeah, the stories that you shared are really difficult situations for those nonprofits. And I think most nonprofits, and I think even those that you mentioned, we have a lot of safeguards in place. We have our annual audits every year, and those are outside people coming in and taking a look at, you know, our systems and making sure that they are being followed and no one is taking advantage. We have checks and balances across the board when it comes to anything financial, just the processes that we take. Not to say that it can't happen. I think criminals in any industry can do what they're going to do, but I think especially for nonprofits, we have to really safeguard those funds that come in. And so, you know, I know for us, we have a lot of checks and balances to make sure that we're catching anything before it becomes a problem.
Right. Okay. New year, new direction. Lots of hope ahead for Child and Family Service, and good luck to you going forward.
Thank you so much.
Karen Tan is the CEO of Child and Family Service, a local nonprofit dedicated to helping Hawaii's low-income and at-risk families.